Erica.
Good evening. This is Erica Luke, and welcome to UFO Audits on KGRA, only the best source on the planet for all things alternative. KGRA is, I don't know, I'm having a good time on KGRA. It's fabulous. And speaking of my KGRA family, we are going to the MUFON Symposium here in 3 weeks in beautiful Irvine, California. Race Hobbs will be there, Chase Kletsky, Steve Hudgens, Margie Kay. We're going to have a good time. So if you're in the Irvine area, make sure you stop by and see us. Saturday night, we are having a Hangar One hangout. So come and meet everybody and just have a good time. We're really excited about it. And Jamie, my fabulous producer, will not be there. I'm quite sad about it. But I want to give him a little shout out because he makes me sound good, even when I try to do audio projects by myself. But we love him. Tonight, I want to just say that I'm interviewing somebody, Patty Greer, who is a mystical, magical goddess. I met her at Contact in the Desert, and I fell in love with her because she's very sassy, and I like that in a woman. It's always good to be sassy. She will be coming up here in a couple minutes, but first I want to talk about all of my people in the chat room. It is really a thrill for me to get in there and see Bill and Ryan and Lorraine, all of the wonderful people that are so dedicated to making comments, to getting in, to spreading the word about UFO Audit. I hope to grow my family and to grow the listenership. So spread the word, please, and always make sure you message me. Tell me about your experiences. You are why I'm here and why I feel so compelled to do what I'm doing. So with that little spiel out of the way, I am very excited to say it's ladies' night. So after me, we've got the fantastic Jill Hansen on the Q Science Project. And her guest, Mr. Richard Dolan, is in the chat room, so definitely get in there. He is an amazing man. I don't even need to say anything about him, because if you guys don't know who he is, then there is a serious problem. And I did hear through the grapevine that he might have shaved all of his facial hair. I don't know. This could be the new scandal in ufology. Who knows? But anyway, we'll talk about that. We'll ask him about that. So, Patty Greer is an award-winning filmmaker. She's a musician. She has spirit and spunk, and I really like her. In fact, I can't wait to hang out with you, Patty. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Very nice to see you again.
I know. I'm excited. Do you remember my fabulous friend Matt, my camera guy, with the kilt?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. How can you forget a guy in a kilt?
Well, he works the kilt. I have to say, I was pretty impressed.
Doesn't take much to work a kilt. Every woman is curious what you're doing there.
I think you were a little curious. Too.
I'm a woman. What are you going to do about it?
Matt. He was digging the ladies' attention. You know, he liked the attention. He thought that was pretty good.
Well, you know, the wind, I think, is part of it, but I think it's more about making people wonder.
That it did. And it was funny to be at a UFO conference and see people there looking at him like he was from another planet. It made me giggle.
Well, he looks Scottish with you.
Oh, he does. He does. He's quite lovely. And I have to just say hi to Matt. He's done some great video work for me. In fact, you can go to YouTube and see some of that. So you're going to be next, Patty.
Nice. Well, I got an early call. They invited me back for next year to Contact in the Desert.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yay! Okay,
I will be there. And so what fabulous new projects are you working on right now?
Oh, my. Well, I've done 6 movies. And I took a break for a few minutes because it is, without a doubt, the most corrupt field I've ever been in. I mean, the distributors that I've had the experiences with have given me zero income intentionally for years. So, you know, I wish that I had been warned about the field and how much corruption and suppression there is, because I went in blind, innocent, graceful, excited, and... it's not what I expected. On the other hand, that's just like human minions, which are really unimportant when we look at the ultimate mission. And the mission is bound to have deceptors. Right. And all through the field now, we're really starting to see the wheat and the chaff separate. And the only reason we're still wondering if it's real is because most of the funding has gone to misinformation, very, very clearly, for decades.
Isn't that unfortunate? I came into this, and I always was on the periphery, and I came into it about 2.5 years ago, really full force, and I've had quite the awakening, and not necessarily in a good way, with that as well. And it's really unfortunate that that's a side of ufology. And but with that said, though, I've also met the most amazing people I've ever met in my life. You know, like you.
Yes, thank you.
And I feel like this is my place to be, and this is my mission and something I want to do. And every day I get to have conversations with the most amazing people that have knowledge to share with me. And I know you do as well. You've had some amazing experiences, and your journey started in 2006.
Oh, 2001.
2001? Why did I think 2006?
Well, 2006 was when I first hit the crop circles, but 2001 is the first contact experience, absolutely, without a doubt, that I remember. 2007, it happened in a crop circle, and from that day forward, I was making movies really fast. So I wanted to acknowledge that what you said is the most outstanding, aside from the actual contact with higher dimensional beings that is beyond excitement and explanation almost. We are hanging, in my opinion, with the most brilliant people in the world. And when people call us conspiracy theorists, what does that really mean? It means people who knew 10 years before the rest. It doesn't mean we're crazy.
No, that is so true. And the more I learn about this, I just am absolutely convinced that some of the far thinking is absolutely correct. But the bottom line is we just don't know. And we have to kind of strip down the perceptions that we have of this world and all of the crap that you hear from everybody telling you how to think and how to feel and what history was. And you need to shift everything. It's a really big process for people. And it's a very slow process in some cases.
Well, it's the greatest honor, those of us that are in the field. I think that the people that are really authentically doing it are, I think we're gifted beyond measure. So when we have to deal with those small things like money and business, it is really more about distracting us from the mission when they act this badly. So to have 4 gigs with Stanton Friedman in a month this summer, those are the things that I take home. I love the man, and there's somebody who's told the truth from day one,
right. Fearlessly.
And because I came in with no training, no warnings, I have told the truth from day one, fearlessly. In my very first movie, I discovered something that has been hidden for decades, which is that the Oliver's Castle footage, where the world has seen two balls of light lay a crop circle down in seconds, well, very famous people said it was fake and the world went back to sleep. I came in not hearing that message of misinformation, in my opinion, and all I have is my opinion to speak from, my perception, but not knowing anything, I brought the footage home to Boulder, Colorado. I started editing with a kid on Craigslist who was an incredible editor. I had no training in filmmaking. I had no training in any of this, and it took 6 months to create my first full feature film.
Oh my God.
And at the very end, I pulled in that Oliver's Castle footage, and there was this feeling that I always get in the crop circles, and you, for me, because I'm hypersensitive, even walking in the tram line, which is where the tractors lay the tires down, I can tell, you could close my eyes and pull me in, and I'd go, now, we're in the umbrella, because the hair is standing up on my arms, goosebumps head to toe. I mean, for sensitive people, there's no getting around it.
Right, and I've experienced the same thing, and I do quite frequently, actually. So,
Yeah, they're called truth bumps. And when you are talking with people sometimes and all of a sudden something really resonates, you just light up, your whole body gets truth bumps.
Well, I'm happy to hear that it's not just me and I'm not having some sort of psychotic break or something.
No, it's just...
Okay, oh, well, you know, I mean, it could be that too. Who knows? But I want to go back to 2001 then. I want you to tell me what your first experience was like. Mm.
This was amazing. And... you know, now that I'm 10 years into the field and 6 movies done, I've got 2 I'm working on now, 2 brand new movies that are crazy awesome. I'm so excited about my new movies, which I will, and then we'll go back to 2001. Okay. My 2 new movies, which you had asked me, what are my projects? One is about wise woman medicine. Frickin' brilliant, fearless women making a difference in the world. And what is our mission down the road? come out of war, to go back to peace, to come back to compassion and freedom, true freedom. So it's a movie of women that I have met all over the place. And as I'm trying to do my first non-UFO movie, it appears that all the women I've gone, you, look at the exploding light. Let's not talk UFOs. Let's talk about womanhood. And all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute, you're hybrid, aren't you? And she goes, mm-hmm. And the next one, I'm like, I'm really trying not to make a UFO movie. I'm trying to do something for the masses. The next one, I said, so what do? I'm a psychic surgeon. I'm like, okay, there's another multidimensional. And finally, I'm interviewing an 86-year-old in 104-degree Palm Springs weather, and she was unbelievable. And then she starts to talk about her 60-year marriage. And I said, really, what was that like? And she said, well, she was married to one of the heads of Lockheed Martin. And they were always in Europe at these special air shows. And they were always flown extremely first class. And I'm like, really? I'm so not able to get away from the field. So I just accept the fact that I'm probably only inviting women that are experiencers. And it's not intentional. It's just I do what I'm told telepathically. All the movies have happened that way.
Isn't that fantastic?
And the other movie will begin with the story I'm about to tell in 2001. So the new Crop Circle movie is going to be so over the top that people are going to have to really prepare themselves, because I am not holding back. It's about all the telepathic adventures I've had, and there have been strange ones. And it would be fun to do some of those on the show, because to me, that's the juice. The juice is what makes this different than anything else you've done, other than we're at a point in human history where we need to wake up and realize that these other dimensional beings have been leaving us sticky notes in the fields for centuries.
Absolutely.
And if the media is going to ignore it, the circle makers are like, whatever. And then they just deliver more. I mean, they are unstoppable, unrelenting. And the crop circles, I mean, 409 circles, you know, that huge sacred geometric mandala, mm-hmm. the 409, the major like groups of Fibonacci sequence side by side in a circle. A totally rainy night. No footprints in the morning. Humans couldn't have done that one.
No, they couldn't have. There's
too many where it's just not humanly possible.
And they are beautiful. And I just have to stop for a second, because there's so many people in the chat room, and I want to say they need to go to your website right now,
yes.
just for a second, pattygreer.net, and yes. look at the beautiful photographs of the crop circles. I was looking at them, and I just sat there with my mouth hanging open. There is no way that a human could make these circles.
Right. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, during the shows, it's always nice if people are looking at the website, because there's all these images of crop circles, collages of my favorites, and they're in wonderful clusters. So as we talk about it and you look at the images, it makes a lot more sense.
It does.
And so 2001, you were going to say?
No. Go right ahead. Let's talk about 2001, and then I'm going to ask you a question.
2001, I was on my fourth year of dating a wonderful man who owned a recording studio. And I had a mountain house for 6 years where I had an awful lot of wildlife come visit every day. And I cut up apples because the deer only had like 4 teeth. And I stick it in my mouth and they take it out. And I had a fox that I hand fed. I was a total nature girl. Wait, I still am. I'm hand feeding all kinds of wildlife. Sorry, Division of Wildlife. So anyway, this gentleman came up to my house, and Eric's got a kick out of the size of some of the animals I fed. And, you know. So one night I'm sleeping and I get up in the morning and he is nose to nose with me on my face. I was like, good morning, why are you in my face? And he goes, thank God you're here. I'm like, what? And he said, do you remember what you said in your sleep last night? And I was like, refreshed, you know, long. He said, you woke me up by saying in your sleep, it's not what you see, it's what you don't see. And I thought, wow, cool dream, babe. And he said, it wasn't a dream. And then you said, it's not who you know, it's who you really are. And I was like, that is awesome. I don't even care if it was a dream. Let me get up and write that down. And he grabbed my wrist and he goes, oh no, that's not all. He said, you seem upset. And he said, upset? Yeah, I have been up all night waiting for you to open your eyes to make sure that you weren't dead. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, first you said these things in your sleep, you woke me up, and then I saw these two headlights do a U-turn behind the house, and I realized there's no road back there. It's a solid mountain. He said, a light came through the wall, white, and circled the bedroom ceiling. I said, honey, I really think you had a dream. And he started to sit up and get angry. He said, I haven't slept all night. It wasn't a dream. A white ball of light circled the bed, and I shook you so hard that the headboard hit the wall. Take a look. And I sat up and looked, and there were two dents behind the wall where the headboard, and it wasn't from something pleasurable. So, you know, I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's serious. And he said, I couldn't wake you up. I was yelling. I was shaking you, and you wouldn't wake up. And then the second ball of light came in. It was white on the outside of the house, and as it came through the wall, it turned bright green like a glow stick. Now, I just woke up. I hadn't even been studying this. I was not a ufologist. I mean, I'd always been a psychic kid. I did Ouija since I was seven until we had a bad experience. But every weekend, I mean, I was playing with spirits. Right. So this was shocking. I wasn't quite ready. I didn't know what he was talking about. But when he said, when the green one came in, he went into panic because he couldn't wake me to save his life. And the dents on the wall were pretty severe from the second time he shook me. I mean, there was chips on the floor. He really panicked, and he couldn't wake me up. So for 5 hours, he watched me lay there and just kept his nose on my nose to make sure I was breathing. And I just was absolutely stunned, and I said, I still think it was a dream. And he got up out of bed, and Erica, that was our last date. Way to lose a guy. What do you tell the kids, you know? Kevin left because...
Well, you know, that is it's a mood killer. You got to admit that one, but...
It's pretty intense.
I would... yeah, that is for most people. I think it's intense for people that are used to this sort of thing or, you know, open-minded. Wow.
Oh, my whole new movie about my experiences is one after another after another after another like this. I mean, I'm looking back now because for me, what happened, what took me to the crop circles was that I went to a dentist, $6,000, to get all the old icky mercury out of my teeth and to put in white porcelain, which it said at the top of the chart. And I woke up from his free nitrous oxide with a mouthful of new mercury fillings and lost the use of my hands.
I've heard you talk about that story before.
Well, I'm still in, let's say, 3 Band-Aids right now, and it doesn't feel very good, and I'm in 12 years. So this has been the most take me away from my life experience that I could even come up with. And I would have never stopped playing music had they not demanded my attention this seriously. And when I say they, I'm going to refer to my friends who I absolutely love, the Circle Makers.
You know, and we have people in the chat room that just want to know so much more about crop circles. And so tell us some things, specifically what they find with the electromagnetic fields, what happens once. You know, I've seen in your movies, which are beautiful, and you guys need to live stream them. They're $5 to watch one of these movies. Yes, yeah. They are incredible. But the experiences that you have interviewing these people that didn't think anything, okay, great, yeah, crop circle, we're going to go see that, blah, blah, blah. But then they are visibly moved, shaken, and their lives have been changed forever. So talk about crop circles, what it feels like, your experiences meeting people, and take us there.
Okay. Well, I think the most novel piece is the enhanced electromagnetic energy, which I told you know, about the hair standing up, and chills, and the whole body sensation. A lot of people claim they get healed. They didn't heal my hands, but they certainly started a major download process with me. Now, in the crop circles, as we look at them over history, a lot of people are like, well, how do we know they're really messages? So I'm going to talk about some really blatant ones because they're coming to us in pictograms, pictures, like where they give us a bird and we know it's a bird, or a tree and a mushroom and they know it's, you know, you can recognize the pictograms, the pictures. Sometimes they give us codes. They have used binary code a lot, sometimes Braille, and even Morse code, which is pretty impressive. And they use numbers. And a lot of numbers correlate to letters, and that's how they give us messages in these codes. In my perception, I think they use binary code when they absolutely don't want the message misconstrued. They put it in writing because they know our computers can read it, our mathematicians can read it, and read it without making a mistake because it's in writing. And then we have sacred geometry, which is more of the aha mandala. It's a center dot, and it's evenly distributed, almost mirror image, all ways around a center dot in the circle. One of the things that I've been doing in my presentations this year and last is spinning crop circles from that center dot. And when you're looking at the formation, the sacred geometry, as soon as you spin it, you can actually see propulsion. And when I spin enough of them, which all my videos where I spin them have like 20, and you've already seen them green in the field or brown in the later field, and then all of a sudden you see that formation, which your mind remembers because there's something beautifully subliminal about crop circle messages. All of a sudden you start to see that one, and then it moves away and the next one spins, and it's so much more information. So what I've seen in a lot of the crop circles are advanced propulsion technologies. We have also seen three that I specifically mentioned in all of my talks and will be in the new movie are referring to free energy devices. And last summer, I was in England filming, and I took Sasha Stone from New Earth Nation into his first crop circle, and I was so excited, and I had camera gear and a drone, and I mean, we were set up ready to rock. And I walked in so excited, and there was no hair going up on my arms. I was like, oh, no, don't do this to me. The formation was fabulous. It was an incredibly ornate, beautiful schematic of something, but there was no electrostatic energy.
Right.
So as I'm walking in with Sasha, I'm like, Or actually, I walked in with my cameraman, and then we set up, and then Sasha came in. And he could tell that it wasn't totally ET or Earth made. He could tell that there was elements of human because it didn't light us up. And so it was interesting. He had not been in one, so he didn't really know what to feel, but, you know, I was trying to bite my lip. So now I'm on camera, and Sasha's here, and these five women across this beautiful crop circle we're in. Gorgeous day, camera rolling. And I'm pointing to this sacred site up there, and I'm pointing to a sacred site. And I said, well, it's sitting on a ley line. So it has that element. And it's a definitely interesting formation. I mean, it looks like it's telling us something. And then I look over to these ladies, and I said, who are you? What brings you here? And she said, this is our crop circle. And I said, okay, what does that mean? She said, we are the quantum energy generator team, the QEG, free energy device. I was like, oh, my God, I've been reading about you. Hug, hug, hug. So nice to meet you. I said, what do you mean this is your crop circle? She said, we were in the Avebury Stone Circle over there and yesterday with our entire technical team, and we sat and did a meditation, and we asked for a confirmation that our device was going to work. She shows me a photo of her QEG, and I've got a photo of the crop circle we're sitting in, and it was almost identical.
Oh, wow.
And I went, see? Humans are part of this equation. So now I want to lead us into this new incredible information that I learned last year. My adventures are so out there. There's one scientist in the world who went public and said crop circles are a real phenomena. And his name is William Levengood. And he was part of a team of three people. But unfortunately, one of the people on the team tricked him 13 years ago with bringing in fake crop circle nodes. And he claimed that they were a high frequency. And she said, ha, we tricked you, and kind of made a fool of him. So even though it appears that they're all working together, he stopped working with her 16 years before he died 2 years ago. And the real woman that has worked with him for 16 years and he, they had unbelievably advanced research about crop circles. So last year, I'm speaking at a gig in Michigan, and some guy says, there's some place I need to take you. And he drives me over to this woman's house. I had no idea that she was Levengood's real partner. And as soon as I left, she hands me a book. I still didn't get it. We're there 3 hours blabbing about not crop circle things. And as I'm leaving, she says, I want to give you one of my 7 books. And I said, well, I want to give you one of my 7 movies. And we hugged, and I was like, wow, 7, 7, same height. We're so, you know. And so I leave, and as I'm leaving, I went through the pages of her book. And I said, oh, my God, crop circle nodes. What's that doing in your consciousness book? And she looked at him who brought me, and she looked at me, and she said, you didn't tell her who I am? And he just smiled and went, mm-mm. I was like, it's 2 a.m. I've been here 3 hours. Who is she? She's Love and Good's real lab partner.
Wow.
And I was like, I've been here 3 hours and now you tell me? So he takes me back to the hotel because I had to speak at the event again in the morning. And I'm walking up to the door of the hotel and these two women from the event, 2:30 a.m, are standing outside the hotel. And the gentleman is driving the long way around the parking lot. He dropped me at the door. And these two women watched me walk up and they were psychics from the event. And the one lady says, who's the tall silver-haired gentleman next to you with the goatee? I said, what are you talking about? She said, there's a tall gentleman with a goatee, silver hair, and he has a message for you. May I give it to you? And I'm like, okay. She said, he wants you to know that he orchestrated this and that he's really glad it worked. And I said, be right back. And I ran into the parking lot, jumping up and down to stop him from leaving. And he backs up, and I said, Stan, what did Love and Good look like? And he said, tall guy, silver hair, goatee. And I went, he's here. Oh. He orchestrated this.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
And so as soon as I came back for the wake of Love and Good a month later, the first night I was at the farm where all the experiments were done, I watched him walk in the room right as I was going to sleep. And I was like, are you a hologram? I know what you look like now. I've been looking at your photos. And he came right in the room in spirit form where I was staying. And he said, I did orchestrate this. I'm really glad you're here.
Oh, how wonderful.
So she and I have uncovered the most incredible evidence that crop circles are real and that they're coming from somewhere that has not been talked about by me.
Well, we are going to talk about that. And right now we've got to take a really, really quick break. And we've got lots of chatter going on in our KGR chat room. And I want to talk about a little bit people hoaxing this phenomenon, what the hoaxers look like, what the percentage is of this, you know, happening compared to the real crop circles. And I really want to let everybody know that this is a very viable, amazing phenomenon. And we need to really research it and look into it and watch your films. So we're going to talk more with you after we take a quick break. I'm Erica Lukes, and you are listening to KGRA Radio, and we will be right back.
You're listening to UFO Audit with Erica Lukes. To find out more about the audit, visit the website, theufoaudit.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Richard Dolan. When I'm not hosting my radio program, The Richard Dolan Show on KGRA, or writing new books on UFOs, I run a publishing company. I'm proud to say that Richard Dolan Press has published some of the most fascinating books available on UFOs and related subjects. They include Dr. Bruce McAbee's classic analysis of the UFO cover-up, David Marler's breakthrough book on triangular UFOs, Dr. Richard Souter's unique work on underground bases, and other classics by Grant Cameron, Chase Kletsky, and Dr. Bob Wood. Not to mention intriguing works by Eve Lorgan and Laurie McDonald that deal with truly bizarre phenomena. I'm proud to publish such high-quality and original works, and there are several amazing books about to be released over the next few months. Go to richarddolanpress.com to learn more.
Hi, Ray Sobbs here with KGRA. You know, all of this technology today was supposed to make our lives easier, but if you ask me, it hasn't. Just the opposite, in fact. Absolutely, it contributes to stress and fatigue. Do you feel tired all the time? Well, let me tell you about our new sponsor, PowerVites. Power Vites is a complete multivitamin mineral formula designed to naturally boost your energy. This multivitamin goes right to work fast. It maximizes absorption due to its unique acidophilus base. This is not a multinational pharmaceutical. The Green Turtle Bay Vitamin Company has been producing Power Vites right here in America for over 20 years. They are nutritionists, making the world better one customer at a time. They produce high-quality products in small, fresh, potent batches and ship directly to you. To order, click on their banner on the KGRA website or visit energywave.com. Be sure to put KGRA Radio in the referral box. That gives us credit and you vitamins. Increase your energy with Power Vites.
Your UFO paranormal powerhouse of live alternative talk radio. KGRA, the planet.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Erica Luce, and this is UFO Audit. Tonight, I'm here with a very fabulous Patty Greer, and spicy, I might add, and I like that about her. I would like to welcome all of my friends, or thank all of my friends, for getting in the KGRA chat room, for listening. I, every day, am getting messages from people all over the world that are hearing about the show, that are they want to know more. They want to know more about orange orbs, about MUFON, all of these wonderful things, and I just am having the best time making connections and chatting with all of you. So thank you for listening. It means a lot to me. And I also want to say that MUFON is a fantastic organization. We're doing a lot of great things. Education is a primary concern, and we are working really hard to educate the public and to do some pretty groundbreaking research. So make sure you pay attention to MUFON. We've got some good things coming up. And speaking of good things coming up, the MUFON Symposium will be coming up at the end of September, and KGRA will have a big presence there. So if you're in Irvine, California, stop in and say hello to the KGRA family that we'll be representing. It's going to be fantastic. I'm really excited. So anyway, it's ladies' night tonight, and I know that Jill she's not feeling super good, so we might have to think on the fly here, but that's okay. Richard Dolan is in the chat room, and we're going to bring him on here in 15 minutes, but now we're going to go to Patty Greer, and we are going to start talking about your fabulous, what we were talking about on the break, and then the hoaxers. So let's go back to where we left off. Science.
Yeah. Let's talk about love and good science, because this is for some reason so heavy that they haven't, for some reason, let it out of the bag. What he found, get ready, because I had to ask. For 3 weeks, I stayed at the farm where the experimenting was done, and every morning I would literally hold my head in my hands and say to this woman, all right, tell me again, I'm ready. And she's like, you're so silly. Why are you holding your head? I said, because you're blowing my mind and it hurts. What she said that their research uncovered through watching the frequencies is that they're initially coming out of the Earth.
Wow.
Crop circle frequencies initially originate from inner Earth. So the Earth, ETs, and humanity, all three of us are involved in the messages in sending and receiving them. And almost every crop circle discovered has been sitting over an aquifer of water, 97%. So that's almost every crop circle is sitting over an aquifer of water, which is a very important element. It's part of the chemistry. And as these vortices come out of the earth, ready to make a crop circle, it has been predetermined what the message is. So we've got ETs, sometimes but not always, she said. Humanity, sometimes but not always, such as the QEG team. That crop circle did not feel that it had ET elements, but it definitely had the human component because of the meditation the day before and the unbelievable representation of their formation and then the device. it was uncanny how similar. And I found a mechanical motor, another advanced technology, and a crop circle identical. On the cover of my last movie called The Shift Has Hit the Fan.
I love that title.
Isn't it good?
Oh,
I like
it. The best.
On the cover is a serial effect generator, an SEG, which is a free energy device that's hopefully ready to go to market any minute, where you can buy a, anyway, I want to stick with the crop circles, and a crop circle in the film showing the technology before the circle came down. So we've got direct correlation with advanced propulsion, free energy devices, and then there are really beautiful summers where we have very specific messages delivered in pictograms, such as 2009. 2009, total freak season. No binary that I can remember, no Morse code, no codes, very few sacred geometries. It was almost all pictures. Pictures, pictograms. We had the dragonfly. Do you remember that gorgeous
yes.
crop circle?
Oh, that was beautiful.
God, acres. And you could see the veins of the wings. Then the birds and the fish and the insects and the ancient ones of each category. We had the phoenix rising, the thunderbird, all these different birds. And then we had an octopus 1,500 feet long. And then a squid, also many acres. Very clear when you look at it, that's a sea creature. And then the ancient, I believe it was an Orthoceras, 300 million-year-old sea creature in a crop circle. So we're looking at a scarab, an ancient insect, a dragonfly that's been around forever, bugs, fish, birds. What's the message? Why is the whole summer about bugs, fish, birds living? And what happened 9 months later? The BP oil spill killed millions of birds,
right.
fish.
Oh, wasn't
bugs.
That just... That
well, it still is. Unfortunately,
heart.
It's still spewing. Nobody's talking about it, but it is one of the great disasters. And the circle makers were delivering constant messages. At the turn of the century, we had two incredible binary codes. And what we're doing now is talking about deciphering crop circles. When I tell you these coincidences, the cynics would like to say, that's fine. You can believe it's a coincidence what I'm about to tell you. But at the turn of the century, when I had my first ball of light experience in 2001 and 2002, 8 miles apart in England, we had two very, very famous crop circles delivered in binary code. In 2001, we had the response that came back from the Arecibo message we sent out into space in 1974. Carl Sagan, Francis Drake, they sent it out to M13, 300 million light years away, 300,000 light years away. Very specific message talking about humanity and what we're made of, our elements, our star layout, our prop, how many people are here on the planet, what our shape of our body is. And bang, in 2001, they sent us a response that looked almost identical with very specific changes that referred to them. Their head was larger, their body was smaller, their planetary layout was different, and they mentioned silicon, where we didn't in our Earth elements.
Oh,
and in
wow.
2001, silicon was, really enhancing computer systems. Silicon, they are silicon-based, and we are starting to move more into becoming silicon-based humans as we move more into the higher frequencies. A year later, bang, they hit us with another huge and very famous crop circle, the alien face and the disc.
And now, that is incredible.
Yes. Now that was, let's talk about it up front, 8 months or 9 months after 9/11. And the day before that, $2.3 trillion went missing. So interesting that we have this huge trillions of dollars missing announced by one of our wonderful politicians. And the next day, another cover story was born and everybody forgot about the missing money. Wonder what they spent it on. Anyway, 9/11, the world goes to hell in a handbasket. And what did the crop circle say 8 months later? The alien face and the disc. The message in binary code said, beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe, there is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing.
So how do people know? Oh, I want people, especially people that are listening, I want them to learn all about this phenomena. And watching your films, going to your website, where are some other good resources for people to learn about the importance of crop circles and the messages that we're receiving?
Well, I think there's so much misinformation out there now that it is extremely confusing to find the truth about anything. What I know is that I come from no training. All six of my movies were made live in the crop circles, telepathically. I did no research.
And you were hanging out of an airplane. Let's just talk about that.
A lot of days, yeah. I mean, I'm looking back now going, man, I was really loose as a goose, willing to do all those things. But I was pretty heaped up on mercury poisoning, which I'm pretty well healed from now. But I think that it may have made me a lot more foolishly brave. So let's talk real quickly, because I know you've got people that asked about the humans making crop circles. And most of the people in the world think, oh, crop circles. That was so many years ago. And a bunch of humans, those two guys, you know, they did it. And I'm going back to sleep now. So those two guys, Doug and Dave, very famous. They made all the crop circles in England in the 80s and 90s. So go back to sleep. My question is, if they made two or three crop circles that night in England, and they made one in France, one in Belgium, one in Argentina, one in China, well, they're traveling at the speed of light anyway. So even if Doug and Dave made all the crop circles and they're traveling at the speed of light to do it every night through the summer, well, they're ET anyway. So yay, Doug and Dave, go, boys. But one night, my favorite real story, I was sitting at a restaurant very late, and I've been crop circling all day. My feet were killing me. There was only one place to have soup, the Black Horse Inn, 10:30 at night. So I crawled to a table. I ordered soup because that's all they'd serve that late. I was dead weary. And these three crazy guys kicked the door in, and they come blowing into the bar. And one guy was wet head to toe, and the other two were laughing hysterically. And they were like obviously three chums laughing about something pretty heavy. And they each ordered two beers. And in England, the beers are about as long as my head down to my waist. They're huge. And where did they sit? Right behind me. So at first I was just like, oh, please, no, don't come this way. And then clunk, 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 all three of them sit down. So I'm just trying to get through my soup, painfully tired. And I start hearing them talk real loud. And more beer they drank, the louder they got. And I found that the fact was that they were talking, that they were just in a field making a crop circle. Here's three guys with boards and ropes. Yes. Hey, cynical people, here's your boys. So they're out at 10:30 at night in a crop circle with their boards and ropes and their nice design that they are creating. And what happened? A ball of light, boom, whizzed past them. And the one guy screamed and wet his pants. And he was the wet one from head to toe. All three of them screamed and ran to the car like little sissies. And they get in the car and they're just going, holy shit, I can't believe what we just saw. Excuse my language. They were completely cussing behind me. So I'm thinking, oh, what a blessing that I get to hear this conversation. And then clink, clink, their cheers, and they live through it. And they're, you know, like, man, I can't believe that happened. Now the second beer starts to go down, and I'm like, you know, I'm starting to enjoy this. I'm kind of arching back, like I'm stretching, but I'm stretching my ear, you know, to the center of their table. And then they really hit me up. The first guy goes, man, I could swear I saw another team in the field. He said there was a guy, it looked like he had an overcoat and a hat, and there was a really small person next to him or something. And the second guy goes, man, I thought I was imagining it. Are you telling me that you saw it too? And the third guy that was soaking wet said, he was cussing up a good storm. He said, I saw them also. I thought I was imagining it. So these guys have to really retrain their vision out in the dark to do this work anyway. But when they saw, I think they're called the shadow people. So not only was a ball of light instructed to scare the wee out of them, but it was fascinating that they also got to see the djinn, the shadow people. And I would bet that even though, yes, those were three human circle makers, I would bet that they haven't made another circle since.
So anyway, thank you. And, you know, I want to ask Patty, because this kind of leads me into a subject that I've talked about with a lot of different people. Where does the paranormal stop and where does the UFO phenomena begin? Because sometimes it is very hard for me to distinguish. You know, you get the orbs and then you get the paranormal phenomena and shadow people. And then you have ET encounters. What is your take on that?
My take is that I call them all other dimensional beings. And I think that words and perceptions are going to be different for everyone. If you've got six brilliant people looking at one crop circle, it's very possible I will have six different explanations of what we're looking at. And the thing the circle makers say is everybody's correct. You will see what it is you're meant to see. And if you're looking at it in somebody who has no spiritual experience, who's really still at the malls and unconscious, would see something different than you. And they would also benefit. They would also get something out of it. Whereas if you went and showed these same mandalas to a guru, they might see something a lot further.
Right.
And then you show these formations to the crappie girl, and I'll read them like a book. But again, it's my perception because I've looked at thousands of them.
Right. Right. And, you know, I want to know, because for my focal point now is the orange orb phenomena. And so everything, even if it's crop circle, I want to know more about the orbs and what is happening with them and what part they play in this phenomenon. What is your...
The orbs are so important in this phenomena because they are the ones delivering the crop circles. What I discovered that's gotten me hacked all these years and to go through such interesting stuff with stupid people, bear with me, is because Foster Gamble from Thrive said, I've been over the target since the start. When I found the communication between the two balls of light and the Oliver's Castle footage, bang, in that moment I knew that I had proven that crop circle is real. Somehow, and I don't mean to whine and complain because I'm not, it's just the isness of my experience, I have been so well suppressed that people haven't even seen my films. In the first film, I show the fact that that's real, and here's the communication. How did I find it? I'm sitting there with the editor in my house in Boulder, Colorado, and all of a sudden we finished the movie. I'm like, wow, that was easy. And all of a sudden the hair went up on my arms and said, oh my God, I feel like I'm in a crop circle. And I looked at the kid and I said, reverse that footage. So he reversed it and I said, slow it down. He said, how slow? And I said, 30%. I mean, I had no idea what I was saying. We slowed it down, reversed it, and slowed it down 30%. And there was this band of communication. And it happened so strangely. And the hair was standing up on my arms in Colorado, not in a crop circle. And I was completely having contact in my home while editing. And that's how I found the communication. And when I saw that binary code between the two balls of light, I just screamed and went, oh, my God, thank God I know nothing. Thank God I haven't seen other people's movies or read other people's books. All I know is this is freaking real, really real. And nobody yet to this day hardly has acknowledged that communication between the two balls of light. So movie number four, I put it in the first 3 minutes.
Good.
Three times.
I have seen that over and over. It is amazing.
Now, I do want to tell you, movie number five is called Orbs and Light Beings. So Orbs and Light Beings is the movie you need to see next.
I've got it right here. Well, you know.
You know, when I bring them to the stage every time I do a chat, a talk, or a lecture, when I show the movies, people get really excited. Look at the cover. That is the most amazing orb. And that movie was how I lost my recent boyfriend. I'm telling you, this work is so over the top that people that I hang out with think I'm exaggerating. And when they're with me in the crop circles, we walked in. When I took him in one of his first crop circles, he says, I'm not going to pretend. I'm like, no problem, babe. We walk in, and as soon as I could see the hair stand up and I could feel, I turned around and looked at him, and he was like this. Just blown away. And his hair's long enough, you can certainly see it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, you really can feel it. You really will be affected by it. And what happened in 2010, which really alarmed the recent gent that I was with, was that everywhere we went in 24 hours, everybody I met in southern England had been in the same crop circle the same night, and the stories were absolutely outrageous. Not only did they see the orange balls of light over the crop circle in East Field, but two guys from Belgium watched the ball turn, a doorway open, and illumined light beings with arms, legs, and a head
came
out of the ball of light. And I, 2 years earlier, had taken photos of an orange ball of light with the doorway open.
Wow. That is incredible.
So that movie is called Four Stories, One Event, Other Worlds, And because nobody knew it was a ridiculously advanced orb movie, I changed the title like a year later. And now it is called Orbs and Light Beings. And it is truly over the top. So on my website, pattygreer.net, you can stream any of the movies. You got a week's access for $5, or I can send you DVDs. And they're pretty amazing. Then I also have collections now where you can buy the whole set for half price.
And they're beautiful. You are such a beautiful filmmaker and a beautiful musician and a fun person. I'm very excited to hang out with you. But I think maybe if the gods are cooperating with us, we've actually got Richard Dolan in. Are you in there?
I'm right here.
Oh, my Lord, Mary. It's the second of the apocalypse.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Patty. How are you? I got to hear most of the program. It was kind of really interesting.
Oh, good. Well, I love it when the other researchers get to hear what I do, because I think because for some reason I've been so kept quiet with the media, people have no idea how advanced the research has gotten. And the people that appear to be really still out there publicly aren't talking about any of this. And the one thing I also wanted to mention about Levengood's work, which, Richard, I think you'll get a kick out of, is they were peeling off very stiff things off the leaves and crop circles, and wheat mostly. And what they found that it was iron ore. And the iron ore had actually molded to the leaf, which means that it had to have been molten when it hit the leaf, didn't burn the field down. So it had to have been 1,200 degrees or more when it hit the wheat.
That's very interesting. I assume damage or no damage to the plant itself. If it's coming on with that kind of heat, I would have to think it's highly damaging to the plant. No,
it wasn't. And the other interesting punchline, which I'm really excited you're hearing, because I got to get some of you big daddies to get out there and talk about what's really going on in crop circles. They also found that the seeds from the center of crop circles in their machine, which was re-engineering, we actually have a machine that's re-engineering these frequencies of earth, sky, and humanity, human consciousness, that's creating these crop circles. So Levengood and his secret partner re-engineered this device to create crop circle frequencies in a germination chamber. So they hit the seeds with these frequencies, and those seeds from within a crop circle and using the same frequencies from within a crop circle produced up to 400% more food with up to 75% more nutrition.
That's interesting. It's all about replication. Levengood, of course, has passed away, and you mentioned a secret partner. I had not heard about this. So
I know.
For conventional science to get on board with this, obviously we all know what is necessary. The research has got to be out there. It's got to be replicable. And it would be nice to know who the secret partner is.
Well, my new movie, I am presenting her, and because of the level of what I've had to tolerate, I didn't want to implicate her until she's face on in the film. Really hit it, because you're lucky. You're a man. You've been in the field for decades. This has not been a party, and there's nothing in me willing to stop. So every time they do these silly little moves, it just makes me realize how important the work really is, and the fact that even you didn't hear about the iron ore, that's impressive to me. And what happened this January?
Well, what happened in this field, I mean, we try our best. I try my best to be aware of everything that's happening. Eventually, I get the memos, but it's just so much specialization. It's almost like any other academic field. So it's good that people like yourself and other people are doing the full range of research.
Yes. Well, yeah. The way I was taken to Levengood's lab and Levengood's wake a month later and hanging out at the farm for 3 weeks with this woman who just continued to fill me with data. It was shocking because here, 9 years I've been pointing to the sky going, thanks, guys, great formation. And now I have to initially look down at the earth. And they're not only coming out of the earth, but they're coming out of the earth in spinning, counter-rotating vortices. So they're coming up in these little tornadoes, one clockwise, one counterclockwise, really high frequency. And then if the message is all three of us, then as they're spinning in these counter-rotating vortices, human consciousness frequencies are added, ET, predestined frequencies are added. And then when the pitch is exactly right to deliver this message, what the human eye sees is, boom, these huge plasma balls of light, whack, they deliver the message in binary code between each other, bang, the field goes down in seconds. And that is how crop circles are happening.
We'll definitely want to see your new film.
I'm excited by it.
I do too, and I will definitely post a link on ufoaudit.com because we need to spread the word. And I also think that MUFON should be perhaps looking into some of this type of phenomena. We have the orb phenomenon. I want to talk to you a little bit more about that, and we'll do that at another date. But I want to bring you back on soon, Patty. And so keep me up to date and let me know what's going on. I will. I think your work is beautiful. And
thank you. Well, I am one determined girl not to give it up. So
no, don't. And just remember, I know that you have gone through a lot, but you can give me this lecture too in 5 years from now when I've dealt with all this nonsense. But there are so many wonderful people that we are lucky enough to work with. So.
Well, I'm working with Sasha Stone and Jonah Bolt and these really big sustainable communities coming. And my mission now is, this week I connected an unbelievable spaceship designer with both of them. I'm just connecting all these dots because for me, my mission is to get the free energy out, to get these advanced technologies to the public because, the prehistoric days we're living in of gas consciousness and GMOs, this is just foolish waste of energy. It's distracting us from what's most important, which is the reality. And the reality is we are not alone here. And how lucky are we to know it?
Absolutely. Yes. Amen. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. PattyGreer.net. Keep track of her. Download her movies. They're beautiful. And Richard, thanks for joining us at the very tail end.
I'm happy to stop in.
I'm glad you got your Chinese food out of, you got to eat that.
I'm here in Exeter, New Hampshire. I'll just give a 30-second plug where I'm at the Exeter UFO Festival, which is going on all weekend. I drove about 8 hours to get here, but hey, it was all good. I'll be here with Stanton Friedman, Jennifer Stein, and actually quite a few really great local speakers who are talking generally about the Exeter UFO incident from 1965. Kathleen Martin will be here, Paul Eno, Ryan Mullahy, a number of other people, Dean Merchant, Derek Gunn, John Oswald, and Bob Schroeder, all of this about one of the most fascinating UFO events in recorded modern American history in 1965. This is the 50th anniversary of a really well-documented, fascinating case. There was a book written about it called Incident at Exeter, and now the town of New Hampshire is doing their annual festival, kind of like an East Coast version of Roswell.
Wow. Oh, I wish we were all there. We'd be having a good time. I hope you have a wonderful time. And, we definitely want to see a picture of you without the facial hair.
Oh, it's shaved, yeah. I took the beard and the facial hair is gone.
This is the biggest news since Roswell slides. I don't know. That's all I got to say. So.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I had two people as soon as I got out of my car who saw me and took a picture with me. And it might be on the Facebook for all I know.
Okay. Well, we will
search. I'm sure there'll be things tomorrow. This is the big news.
It is. Jeez. So thanks for coming, you guys. And you kids, stay out of trouble tonight. I hope you have a wonderful night. Have fun at your just your convention and all of that stuff. So you guys have a good night. And next week, I just want to talk about Jeff Wills, who will be my guest on UFO Audit. So find me on Facebook and have a fabulous evening. I'm Erica Luke. See you next time.